You're listening to the newest episode of Adrift, written and read by Doyce Testerman. Every few days, we'll bring you another installment of the story as it's written, as part of an insane overcomplication of what should be a simple NaNoWriMo project. You may be downloading these podcasts via iTunes or Podiobooks, and if so, I'd like to invite you to come by my website, doycetesterman.com, to comment and join in the conversation, or you could contact me directly at doyce@doycetesterman.com. With all that said, let's get on with the story. John watched the drift shadows creep over us, each one shifting and replaced as we closed with the dock. "We taking Yorn with us?" The question made me tired, but I took the time to consider it. "He's useful if things get troublesome." John nodded, moving slow, taking another drink and not saying anything. Like the mug of nutsweet poison he sucked down every morning, silence was a habit of his that I'd found valuable and damned irritating by turns. I tipped my head, watching another hulk crawl by as Deirdre made the last turn before the dock. "That said, he does have a tendency to bring a canister of troublesome with him." I raised an eyebrow at John. "Could be. Our complications would be considerably less if he stayed on the ship." Again, John gave me a slow nod, and it turned out that this was one of those times when it annoyed me more than it helped. "You planning on contributing to this conversation, or just suck that ghost syrup until your teeth fall out?" He squinted at me, raising an eyebrow. "I started the conversation, if you'll recall." He took another drink, draining the last of the mug almost mournfully. "I believe it was something like, 'Are we taking Yorn with us, Captain?'" The barb in his tone set me back. "Is it going to be that kind of day?" He gave me no response. "Maybe I should just take Yorn with me and let the first mate watch the boat." "If you like, sir." I blew air past my teeth and gave him a glare that slid right off. From that, I could tell he was angry. He was a lot more likely to get into a shouting match when he was in a good mood. "Walk with me," I said, and stepped through the hatch. He followed on my heels, which meant he was ready for a fight. The idea made my head hurt, and I honestly couldn't figure out what had gotten him stirred up to begin with. It wasn't some old gripe. I'd barely seen him since I got the message from... I headed for the mess and dropped into a chair, giving him time to refill his mug before I started prodding. "Been an uneventful jump." He turned away from the counter, stirring the drink to keep the sediment from settling. "Yep. Haven't seen you around much." He shrugged, his eyes still on the drink. "You had things worked out well enough." He took a drink. "It's a good idea, coming in with the engine flare up in everyone's face. Good way to get in close without getting scanned. I didn't have much to add." "I thought so. Had to come up with something." I rapped a random pattern on the table with my knuckle. "I said a long time ago I'd never come back here." He set the mug down and leaned against the counter, crossing his arms. "I was there."
"You were?"
I let my eyes wander up to the ceiling of the mess, stained by greasy smoke and the spatter of years of bachelor-style cooking. I imagine it sounded like something I'd never changed my mind about. He was watching me now, eyes hooded.
It's Caitlin."
"It is." I matched his expression. "Is that reason enough?" He raised his eyebrows.
"I'm not her father, Finn. How the hell should I know? If I had to guess..."
"Is it enough reason," I cut in, "for you?" His raised eyebrows dropped into a puzzled, maybe annoyed frown.
"I know why you're doing this. I don't have a problem with it."
I let my feet drop to the floor and leaned forward, knowing my irritation was starting to show.
"Then what the hell are you busting my ass over?"
John stared at me like I'd just announced I was retiring to become a farmer on Caliban.
"Please be joking."
I spread my hands in front of me and set back the way we did when we folded on a bad hand of cards. He shook his head, still staring at me.
"You just stood there while she called in a permission to dock, and you want to know why I got on you?"
"The voice mod," I began,
"is only part of the problem," he finished. "And it is still a problem. Any app we've got that muffles the girl's voice, there's another one out there that undoes it."
He reached back to the counter and picked up his mug.
"Anyone doing that is probably the same sort of person running voice recognition."
He took a drink.
There's more than a few on that metal ball willing to wait any length of time for you to break that promise and make an appearance. I let that hang in the air for a few seconds to see if he would add anything to it. He didn't, so there was still a few things we weren't going to talk about. Fine. Fair enough, I said. What's the rest of the problem? Again, he gave me the stare normally reserved for idiot children. You stood there and let her call it in. He held up one finger, looked at it, then back at me, and extended a second. When you did finally realize what was going on, after all the little plans that would have kept anyone from figuring out we were here, you jumped on comms and basically shouted, "Remember me?" to the whole fucking drift. You think I had time to work out a better... You're not here! John was, finally, shouting. That's the problem. You're looking so far ahead of where we are, right now, that you're gonna walk right into a hole and pull us all in after. What he was saying hit close enough to the mark that my hand shook. Not out of anger, well, not entirely out of anger, but from the minor rush of fight-or-flight reaction that comes whenever there's a genuine attack going on. I pressed my hand against the tabletop to keep the adrenaline tremor in my fingers from showing. John had his arms crossed again, watching me for, well, I don't know. Maybe looking to see if I would do exactly what I was doing. That was the problem with having someone like John around all the time. He knew me too well. You don't have to come along, I said, trying to keep my voice level and mostly succeeding. John rolled his eyes at the ceiling. God damn, you are dense sometimes. He dropped his arms and rested both hands on the counter. Are you purposely missing my point? No. I shook my head and took a breath. No, I'm not. I'm actually this dense, John. He watched my face, then looked at the ceiling and took a deep breath through his nose and blew it out between pursed lips. Maybe. He looked at me. Maybe. He pushed away from the counter, picked up his mug, and headed for the hatch that led to his quarters. I'll be at the airlock in 10 minutes. You need someone along who can call you on the worst of your idiocy, and everyone else who'd do it is gone. It's easier with them gone. The words are out of my mouth before I have time to think about them, but they aren't wrong, and right then I don't care enough to regret them. I look sidelong at where he stopped at the hatch, his back to me. Lost, or gone, or dead, I murmured. I don't even know why you're still here. Because I wouldn't let you get rid of me, he said, and left. Deep in the guts of the ship, I heard the clang and thump that heralded one of Deirdre's textbook landings. Welcome to the Drift, I muttered. You never did answer that question about Yorin, John said. He stood at the airlock, dressed and kitted out almost exactly the same way he would be for a scouting job. Light metal-weave jacket, fraying at the edges, slug thrower, camp knife, a pack with all the typical gear we brought when we didn't know exactly what to expect. I was carrying half as much, and I saw him notice it and say nothing. Is he going to be all right if we leave him here? I asked. He gets stir-crazy. No, John said, punching up an external atmosphere readout on the comm screen next to the airlock. He gets crazy. Period. The screen indicated that the external atmosphere was breathable, heavy on primitive pollutants, and that the pressure varied enough that we'd want to keep masks handy, just in case. My teeth ground. Is he going to be all right if we leave? I've secured the bridge. Deirdre's voice, squished and tinny, came through the comms. We will not interact. There will not be a recurrence of the incident on Sycorax. Should have left him there, I muttered. But we didn't, John said, loudly enough for it to carry to the comms. He'll be fine. His voice dropped. So will she. I nodded, once. When we're down, lift off and find an empty piece of sky to occupy, I said, my voice raised enough for Deirdre to catch it. We'll stay in touch until the Drift eats the comm signal. Affirmative, Captain. I nodded, though she couldn't see it, and joined John at the airlock. All right. Let's go find a guide. Thanks for listening to this installment of Adrift, written and read by Doyce Testerman.
This podcast is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivative Works 3.0 license. For more information, visit creativecommons.com. Adrift was first conceived as a serialized flash fiction story, told 140 characters at a time via Twitter, and in fact continues today and every day as an ongoing story. You can check it out on Twitter at www.twitter.com/finris or on my website at doystesterman.com/adrift. Our intro music is Invisible Walls by Revolution Void off their album Increase the Dosage, available from jamendo.com. Our outro music is Strutton by Triad, also available from jamendo.com. There are many people to thank for their help and input on this project, but the two that jump right out at me, sometimes literally, are my wife Kate and Tim White, perhaps best known in this arena for his Return to Northmore podcast. One of these individuals has been an unfailing, unflagging, ever-optimistic beacon of support and positive thinking. The other has given me tremendous technical help, suggestions, and advice as I learn how much I don't know about podcasting. Which one is which? I'll leave as an exercise for the listener.
Speaking to this tiny box, through Wiresworth's walk, strutting down browser blocks, worldwide transmission talk, fuzzy flicker FM balls, DRM dash to the walls, podcast broadcast signal no noise, global infinite internet choice, music junkies get it all for free, major labels don't get me, contracts kiss my industry, I'll sing the system to its knees.